again. It's time for Packers preview again. Talking about the pack on KFAN. The Super Bowl, we're gonna win again. According to your host, David Sinekin, we'll win on the road. We'll win at home. We'll even win in
U.S. Bank Stadium.
Vikes fans can call if you've got the balls. The Packers preview show.
And now the fan is only somewhat proud to present year number 23 of Packer Preview. Packer Preview is brought to you by Hudson Ford, West Bend Mutual Insurance, Safe Basements of Minnesota, and by the Park Tavern. Now, here's the cheesehead, head cheese himself, Dave Sinekin.
Good morning, Packer fans, and welcome to the Week 2 edition of Packer Preview on the Sports Leader and the home of the Vikings, the Fan, Fan Radio Network, iHeartRadio. Great to be with you as we get set for Week 2, Border Battle number 116. Seems awfully early in the season already, isn't it, to be dealing with the Vikes? But here we go, the rare noon kickoff at Lambeau Field as the Packers will try to shock us again after what we saw Sunday night against the Bears. The news you may have missed overnight, both Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport reporting that, barring a setback this morning, Aaron Rodgers will indeed start under center today and try to get through the game with that sprained knee suffered in the first half on Sunday night. Rodgers talked about the status of his knee a couple of days ago.
Move around a little bit in the circle, you know, small circle that I was moving in Sunday night. So if I can get back to that, you know, hopefully a little better than that without pain, then hopefully I'll be able to go.
And as we said, it looks like he will give it a go. Will he finish? Will he be effective? Will he be able to dodge the Vikings pass rush? Those are all questions to be answered between noon and 3 today. Of course, the game will be heard on this very radio station, the home of the Purple. Noon kickoff, 10 o'clock pregame for much more on the Vikings' perspective of the showdown today. Where to begin for Border Battle number 116? Packers lead the overall series 60-53. There have been a couple of ties. McCarthy 9-3-1 against the Purple at Lambeau. Rodgers, overall, 12-7 against the Vikes. He's won 11 of his last 15 starts against the Purple. And, of course, last year knocked out by Anthony Barr and the Vikes, missed really both games. And we got to watch Brett Hundley try to do his thing against the Purple. But Rodgers will start, and we'll see how effective he can be. That's the storyline in this game. We obviously would much prefer a 100% Aaron Rodgers against this defense, but that's not what we'll get today, and we'll see how mobile he is. Maybe he'll be just a bit more mobile than we expect. I think we'll certainly see a game plan like we saw in the second half where he's pretty much exclusively in the shotgun or the pistol. He will not go under center, so he has to back up and really work that knee. That changes how the Packers call plays, obviously, and it actually, you know, the way the Vikings pass rush works, I mean, they're going to come at him, I believe, right up the middle, where they're strong. I mean, Sheldon Richardson had a great debut last week for the Vikes. Just what they needed to add to that D-line was a player of his ilk with him and Linval Joseph in the middle. If they do their thing, they can open up some lanes for Barr or Kendricks to come through. So certainly a big test for the Packers' offensive line today, but flip side, going to be a big test for the Vikings' offensive line as well. I really believe both teams' defenses' strengths are up front on the D-line. I think both D-lines have major advantages today, and we'll talk about that throughout this hour. We'll certainly take your calls. We have 5 out of 6 phone lines full. We love that. One line available if you want to jump on, 651-989-5326 or toll-free 800-320-5326. I've got my son Jackson in studio. My least favorite child, of course, because he's a Vikings fan. Jackson will give his prediction. Well, you didn't know you were the least favorite? I wasn't supposed to say that out loud? All right, we'll get your prediction before we are done. Let's talk the health of both teams The main story, the A story, of course, is the health of Aaron Rodgers. We just told you. Reports are he will start today, barring any setbacks this morning. He practiced yesterday, moved around a bit better than he thought, and the Packer coaches and administrators thought. They just want to make sure that today, when he gets to the facility, to Lambeau, that things haven't tightened up and he's not any worse for wear. But it sounds like all systems go, barring any catastrophes today. Rodgers under center. Packers put return guy Trevor Davis on IR earlier this week. They signed off waivers a cornerback out of the Falcons named Deontay Burton. So another corner joins the fray. Trevor Davis' season, though, over. That does impact special teams, obviously. Davis, really the only pure returner on this team, had a very nice year last year, but we know he couldn't stay healthy in the preseason, and the hamstring kind of worked its way in there toward the season opener, and they decided to place him on injured reserve. So we will get Randall Cobb returning punts. And in a game like this, I like it. You know, it's a tough game. Two evenly matched teams. If Rodgers were healthy, this line opened up at Packers as a two-point favorite. There's no line, of course, today because nobody knew if Rodgers would play. It's pretty much a toss-up in most people's eyes. Games like that, having Randall Cobb back there to make a play or two, I think, is important. When you play a team like Buffalo in a couple weeks, I'd rather not risk Randall Cobb back there because he certainly showed his value on Sunday night with the big touchdown. But not only that, targeted, I think, 10, 11 times and will be a key part of this offense if he can stay healthy. And as we've talked about, it's a contract year for Randall Cobb. He has every incentive to try to stay as healthy as possible. Being a punt returner puts him at risk a little bit, but the Packers don't have a whole lot of other options. You might see Jaire Alexander get some run throughout the season and give him a chance there as well. Ty Montgomery, likely the kickoff returner. So still, it's sort of been an annual issue. Do we have a real stud returner? We thought Davis might turn into that guy, but apparently that is not the case. Vikings are pretty by the way, Josh Jones out again today. He will not play. He has been listed as out. Questionable are both Devontae Adams and Oren Burks. Adams suffered a shoulder injury in the game, played through it, missed practice Wednesday, returned to practice Thursday and Friday. Should be fine, but let's make sure if he falls on that shoulder that he's okay. Talked about it before the season. To me, Devontae Adams is in the top four or five most valuable Packers. You put Rodgers up there, the two tackles, and after that, it might be Adams. There's just so little proven depth at wide receiver after those top three guys. You've got three rookies. So Adams, obviously, the biggest playmaker in the passing game. Rodgers certainly needs him, and today more than ever. Likely going up against Xavier Rhodes for much of the afternoon. We'll see how effective Adams is with that shoulder, but he should go. And we might see the debut of rookie Oren Burks today. Burks also dealing with a shoulder issue that flared up in pregame of that last preseason game. I'd like to see Burks out there. Petten had to go with a makeshift defense with just one linebacker on many plays. Martinez, the only linebacker, inside linebacker, I should say, for a number of plays. Because Burks was not available, his speed as a converted safety out of Vandy will be much needed today against a weapon in Dalvin Cook, who was very good as a receiver last week, much more effective as a receiver than as a running back, averaged just 2.5 yards a carry on the ground last week. But, boy, he's tough to tackle in space. Packers defense featuring more speed this year. Burks contributes to that. We will see if he plays. He is questionable, but I think would be much needed today. Although it would be his first game. You don't know how he'll react. I'd like to see him out there and potentially making some plays in the passing game where the Packers could use some assistance. As far as the Vikes go, they're pretty healthy. Pat Elflein will miss another game. They've got some issues up front. We knew that was the weakness heading into the season, and they're without a couple of preferred starters on that offensive line today. Most notably, Pat Elflein will miss another one. There are two young corners who both got nicked up last week, are both likely to play. They practiced fully on Friday. Talking about Mackenzie Alexander and Trey Waynes. We'll see if they can get through the game. The Vikes had to go rather deep into their depth chart last week against the Niners, counting on Mike Hughes a bit more than they were hoping in game one and putting this curse kid out there as well. Of course, Hughes had a pick six in a ball that was thrown right into his breadbasket. Unlike Kyle Fuller, he was able to make that catch. I'm of the opinion that Kyle Fuller dropped that pick on purpose as his way to just thank the Pack for supplying that offer sheet last year, raising his salary, making the Bears match it. I think he had to say, hey, Pack, I'll give you this one. Thanks for padding my bank account. Well, he may not have actually thought that, but I think it makes for a good story. I was at the game, as many of you know, Sunday night. I'm sure many of you were as well. It was, for the most part, about as painful an evening as I can remember at Lambeau. With all the excitement and the fanfare for a new season and Rodgers back, the offense struggled mightily early. Of course, Rodgers goes out. You see him carted off the field, and you know everything's going through our flashing through our mind at that point, right? Season over again. How can this happen? Oh, my goodness, he's 34, almost 35. Is this going to become an annual thing? Are we going to have to watch Deshaun Kizer the rest of the season? It just, everything looked so bleak. And then at halftime, toward the end of halftime, this roar goes up from the crowd, and we turn around, and lo and behold, there's number 12. Not just coming out of the tunnel, but actually jogging out of the tunnel. We later heard he did that to impress the doctor, to show him that he was okay. But then what's going through my mind is, well, he's going to try to go, Gutty, Warrior, okay, but man, what if you get hit again? I mean, Mac was unstoppable. What if you really get hurt and it's over? So I was not feeling real good, even seeing Rodgers back, but then we saw what happened. McCarthy and Philbin make a lot of changes to help support their quarterback and make sure he doesn't have to move around too much. Everything out of the shotgun, lots of quick passes. The pass rush suddenly was meek. Bulaga got better in the second half. Everybody got a little bit better, and the game plan fit. And Rodgers got rid of the ball quickly, found, every touchdown was a big play. It was a weird finish, wasn't it? A weird comeback in that there were no long, extended drives with, oh, man, we got to get this third down. We got to keep this thing going. It was just, boom, 50-yard touchdown, 40-yard touchdown, 75. It all happened so quickly. And the last one, that last series, right? Incomplete, third and 10. The last thing you're thinking is, here comes the big play. It was, are we going to not even get a first down in this last drive? Is it all going to end right here? And then Rodgers finds Cobb, takes it to the house, and the Packers have the lead. Then we have to suffer through Clay Matthews' brain fart. And, man, what a night for Matthews. We'll talk about that. Not a good performance for number 52. I'm very anxious to see if he can redeem himself today against an offensive line that he should be able to dominate. If he doesn't, it might be a very long year for number 52. But defense holds. Packers get the win. It's, I mean, for sure, top three all-time for me at Lambeau Field. As painful as it was for most of the night, you do not see comebacks ever. I mean, the Packers had never done it. The Packers were, what was the stat? I think 0 for 111 in games they trailed by 17 in the fourth quarter in their lives, in their history, in 99 years of football. And now we put a 1 in front of that, thanks to the amazing comeback led by number 12. It would have been just disastrous to start 0-1 at home, and then you've got the Vikes coming in. And now if you start 0-2 and lose two division games at home to start the season, you do not come back from that very easily, if at all. So everything changed. Pack 1-0, certainly feeling good about themselves. Here come the Vikes, the presumptive favorites of the North, as the folks here like to call them, themselves, the Kings of the North. They can have that title for a year or so. Green Bay will try to shut them up as the season goes on. But Rodgers is playing, and so this game suddenly becomes very interesting. Lots of interesting and very close matchups here that we're going to talk about, things to look at. What do the Vikings like to do now with Kirk Cousins and DeFilippo running this offense? What did we see in week one that we might see today? Lots of interesting things to talk about as we get set for a noon kickoff. Not prime time, not 3:25, the rare noon kickoff at Lambeau. We are less than 5 hours from kickoff. We'll hear from all of you and your thoughts on the Pack after week one and how you're feeling about today as we roll on. The Border Battle edition of Packer Preview continues right after these.
You're listening to Packer Preview.
We're the Minnesota Vikings and we're just a pile of junk. We play in a dome they call the Humpty Dump. Win a few games, make the playoffs and we choke. The Minnesota Vikings and you know that we're a joke. We joined the NFL back in 1960. We're gonna be a great team, someday you'll see. Just like the Packers, gonna win a Super Bowl. To be number one is our only goal. Now we've been there four times, but we never seem to win. And that's not good enough. Just
to get in. We gotta win the big one and we gotta do it now. We're never gonna do it cause we don't know how. We lost to Kansas City, Oakland, Pittsburgh, Miami.
We are back, 7:19 on Packer Preview. Bumper music by request from Chip from Woodbury. He and his buddies in the Dells sent me an email to the Bradshaw and Bryant inbox. Good morning, Dave. We're in the Dells to watch the game with some friends. Could you please play with the Minnesota Vikings by the Happy Schnapps combo? Between what happened with the Badgers yesterday and today's outcome in doubt, it's likely to be the highlight of my football weekend. Longtime listener, love the show as always. Go Pack. Chip, your wish is my command. Just makes me feel good that the flagship home of the Vikings will allow me to air that for 40 or 50 seconds. It's all in good fun. And you can't deny some of the words there. They're still looking for the first Super Bowl, right? All right, full phone lines. We're going to get to all your calls starting this segment. Getting you ready for Packers, Vikings, noon kickoff, Lambeau Field. Border battle number 116. It's Mike Zimmer's fifth game at Lambeau, and it's his fifth starting quarterback. He's trotted out to try to take down the Pack. Of course, Kirk Cousins given all the money. He joins the rivalry. He's had some success against the Pack, beat him as a Redskins quarterback. But a lot of interesting developments in this game. I think special teams interesting as well, with a rookie kicker coming in for his first road game, a punter they brought in on the eve of the season. Special teams will be something to watch throughout this three-hour drama fest we're sure to get. Of course, if you're just joining the show, reports overnight that Aaron Rodgers expected to start today. That's not a surprise to anybody. It wouldn't have shocked me if we had heard that the knee was too sore and they're going to rest him today. I didn't think it was likely, but it wouldn't have shocked me. Now, he will test that thing out today, and they could change their mind. It's barring any setbacks. Number 12 starts today, but that's certainly welcome news. A DeShone Kizer-led Packer team today. I'm not even sure I would watch all of that. It might be time to bring out the rake, clean up the yard a little bit, and get some work accomplished. All right, let's get to the Packer lines. Appreciate all of you holding. Let's begin with our good friend, Old Southside Guy. Good morning, sir.
Davey, good morning, sir. Dave, I'd like to make a bunch of points, and then I want to throw out a proposed trade and
right,
see what you think of it. But before I start, a shout out to your buddy Paul Charchian, not even considering Randall Cobb for any fantasy leagues. But let me just say something about Cobb. Much has been made about Rodgers' performance last week, and it was great. But that run by Cobb on that last touchdown was amazing. I don't know. He's probably the slowest slot receiver in the league. He caught that ball at about midfield, and the angles he took to get to the end zone were those of a real seasoned veteran.
Yeah, I'm guessing Jordy is certainly slower than Cobb at this point. He's quick, though. He still has quickness, and that's why he's the punt returner. So you don't have to be a, you know, a 4.3 40 guy, you know, as you know, to get open and to score touchdowns. Cobb's shifty. He's still got some giddy up. And, yeah, that was just a tremendous play, and it just shows the chemistry between Rodgers and him because he wasn't open initially, and he had to work a little bit free, and Rodgers found that slight window there, and then Cobb did it the rest of the way. Yeah, it was nice to see. There were a lot of people wondering, you know, what kind of role Cobb would have. He's a $10 million, you know, 28-year-old receiver, and you know, the Packers had three guys making $10 million plus, right? It was Adams, Nelson, and Cobb, and they elected to let Nelson go, and there was never any doubt in my mind that Cobb would be a part of this team, and it's just about, you know, whether he can stay healthy. He's been nicked up a bit. Packers certainly need him every single game this season if possible.
Yeah, Davey, and that having been said, I did see a stat this week that said in last week's game, everyone's saying that Rodgers has got to be in that shotgun or pistol, and he will be. But he had 15 passes last week that were 2.5 seconds or more in the actual pocket. So I think we'll have some time as long as we can hold the defense off to get some long passes. But let me throw out this proposed trade to you and see. I want your opinion.
All right.
This is something that's not going to happen, but it would be nice. We really need a running game. And I know Adam Jones is coming back next week, but I don't know if he's a 15, 20 touch a game guy. If we could get Rajon Bell, what would you be willing to give up for him?
All right, thanks, Southside. You got a little problem with first names, Aaron Jones and Le'Veon Bell. I have no interest in Le'Veon Bell. And, you know, actually Jackson asked, threw that out to me yesterday too. Like, would you guys be interested? No, this team is not going to afford a, you know, whatever, $14, $15 million running back. They need to invest in defense. I thought you were going to go with a pass rusher and find some pass rusher, because to me, after watching the game Sunday night and not seeing Perry or Matthews or Gilbert get much of a pass rush on Mitchell Trubisky, I'm looking for a playmaking outside linebacker to add to this mix. I do believe in Aaron Jones. I think the question mark is he going to be able to pass protect, pick up blitzes, do all the things he needs to do besides run the football? But I think he's special. I really do. I think he's electric. I think he's got big play ability. I don't know that McCarthy will hand the keys to him next week. I don't think he will. But I think as this season goes on, he will be the guy that runs this running game and is the man that we turn to and look to get most of the snaps as the season goes on. I think he's great. I don't think there's any reason to try to make a deal for Le'Veon Bell. It would cost you a lot in trade. It would cost you a lot to pay the guy. And this offense is not set up to pay a running back that kind of money. And he's got a lot of miles on him. He's terrific. But no, I'm sorry, Southside. That one doesn't interest me. Back to the Packer lines we go. Let's head to Daveville, beginning with our friend Dave in Shakopee. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
Well,
that was fun Sunday, wasn't it?
It was not too good there for most of the game, but it was they pulled it out. But you know, at first, you know, when we were at the game and stuff, I was really pretty harsh on the defense. But then I got to watch the game again on the NFL Network, and you know, then I said, well, no, it really wasn't so much the defense. I mean, for a while, you know, we're so thin at linebackers that, you know, the defensive backs had to work really, really hard. And I think, you know, after, you know, well, great, it's only been one game, that may be a newfound strength on this defense. I think Paul Allen and Charchian, who, you know, don't think this defense is going to be a top 10 team or whatever on defense, I think by the end of the season, we're going to see that. Jackson and Alexander, I thought, played really great. Offensively, when A-Rodge came back, and like you said, that place got deafening when he came running out on the field and stuff. But just trying to get your, what did you think the key play of the game was in the third quarter? And I'll give you mine. And, you know, granted, the touchdowns and stuff were nice, but I think it was in the third quarter, late in the third quarter, after Rodgers had gotten thrown for intentional grounding. That play that was, I think it was like, what, third and 14?
Yeah, that's the one I was going with, too, to Geronimo Allison, right?
Yeah. I don't think that the Bears, you know, did a good job. Thanks to them, we converted that and went on. And to me, that kind of was the key of the play, I mean, key play of the game. I thought Allison had a great game, kind of the unsung hero. And I'm not going to throw out a trade proposal to you. But last night, you know, looking at, you know, social media and everything, and, you know, after the Badgers laid a huge ostrich egg in Madison, what do you think of the Packers trying to get Jay Cutler?
Stop it. Just stop it. I'm letting you go on that one. I know you're joking. Please tell me you're joking. I want to talk quickly about Pettine's defense, because that was, to me, what I was most interested to see heading into the game. How is this defense going to look? How are they going to play the first night? Relying on young players. And yeah, it was ugly early. I mean, Trubisky and the Bears go right down the field. Much has been made about new head coach Matt Nagy scripting his first 15 plays, and they went off without a hitch. Packers gave up 160 yards in the first two Bears drives, and then gave up 160 the rest of the way. So they figured things out. Once the Bears went off script, things got a lot more difficult. As I talked about, there were a number of snaps with seven defensive backs on the field. I don't know that we'll see that today. I think the availability of Oren Burks will play into that. But the early returns on those young cornerbacks was terrific. We saw balls contested. Even the long ball that Alexander gave up to Allen Robinson, look, he was right there. And, yeah, maybe he could have knocked it away, but he had, I thought, great position against a really good receiver. They're young. They're rookies. They'll make some mistakes, but they look like real players. And I know PA has made much this week about Yak, how he thinks his receivers are going to run all over the field. There were some tackling issues in the first game that need to be cleaned up. But I think Clinton Dix slightly above average game, nothing great. Kentrell Bryce played better than I expected. Those guys need to be on their toes today. They need to make tackles. I don't know that those receivers are going to run wild and free like PA believes they will. Very encouraged by the cornerback group. You put Tremont Williams out there with the three youngsters. Kevin King was very good and wrapped up guys, and then the two rookies. Cornerback group looks entirely different than it did a year ago. Last year, we depended on Devon House to be a veteran influence on the field. Now he's the fifth corner, and he'll only play if somebody gets hurt. So very encouraged by the cornerback play. I love the play of the defensive line as well. Need to see better play from the linebackers. Need to see Matthews, Gilbert, and Perry get home a little bit. And if they can't get home against this Vikes offensive line, as I said, then we got some issues. Dave from Maple Grove picked an overtime game last week. You were pretty close. That baby was as close as it gets. How are you feeling today, my friend?
Feeling great. Feeling solid. Thanks, Dave. How are you doing?
Good. I'm excited to have a noon game and not have to wait all day for this one. I'm really glad we're going to see this one right off the bat.
10 o'clock came here. I'm in Olympia, Washington, so it'll actually be a 10 o'clock kickoff here.
Oh, nice. All right. Good.
What I'm looking forward to today is the Bears did a good job taking Jimmy Graham out. I don't think the purple can or will do that. I don't think they're as worried about it. I'm looking for Jimmy Graham to have a huge game today. Second point I've got is running the ball. As much as I love that win, as brilliant as it was and everything else, I would like to see us run the ball better. I'd like to see it start today. What are the chances Jamal Williams gets 20 carries today and Jimmy Graham gets a half dozen catches?
I'll let you go on that. Thanks, Dave. If Jamal Williams gets 20 carries, Packers are going to win this game because that means they're controlling the ball. The offense is working. It's not all pass. I don't think he will. I think Ty Montgomery is going to fit into this game plan along with the tight end. So I'd love to see Jamal get 20 carries. I think it'll be more like 12 to 15. I think Ty Montgomery's out there as a pass receiving weapon as well as a guy that can run the ball, but maybe more as a receiver. I love your points about the tight ends because much was made about Jimmy Graham being pretty much shut out, just a couple of short catches. The Bears made it tough on him, bumping him at the line, knocking him off his rhythm, not letting him get open. They really focused on making sure Jimmy Graham didn't beat them, and the Packers were never in the red zone. It was a really weird night. I mean, every touchdown came from 40 or 50 or 75 yards, so you didn't see red zone play where Graham really is going to separate because of his height. And it sounds like the early chemistry he has with Rodgers. I do think Graham is more effective today. I think you'll see a lot more than seven snaps from Mercedes Lewis. I think he'll be called on to help that running game. Look, Rodgers cannot drop back 50 times today. Green Bay has to run the football, and that's obviously a very tough defense. But they are going to be very aggressive. There will be plays to be made in the run game, and I think if Mercedes Lewis is out there next to Bulaga as a run-blocking tight end, that's what he's good at. That will certainly open up some holes for Williams and Montgomery. It would be nice to have Jones out there as well today, but one more game to serve that suspension, and he'll be activated, we assume, before next Sunday. But I think multiple tight end looks. I think Kendricks gets in there as well. You'll see a lot of differences offensively than we saw Sunday night. And just like we'll see a lot of different things from the Vikes. I mean, they know that we're going to look at their tape against the Niners, and they're going to make some changes just like the Pack will. So, we all get wrapped up with what we see in game one, and generally, not until you get into the month of October do you really know what you have with your team. You just want to stay healthy as much as you can and get through those first couple weeks of rustiness. Let's not forget, the Packers' offense played, six, seven, eight snaps in the preseason? That was it. Bulaga basically got a few snaps in the final preseason game, then he takes the field Sunday night and faces Khalil Mack. Without really any conditioning or anything. So he'll settle down like he did in the second half. He'll play better. He'll have to face a really young stud pass rusher in Danielle Hunter. And as I said, I think the Packers should give him some help. They didn't give him much help against Mack. I would think they'll give him some help today as they trot out those multiple tight ends. But as you know, the Vikings defense presents the toughest defense the Packers will face on their schedule. They'll face them twice. We talked about the interior defensive line between Hunter and Griffin. Griffin a bit banged up, as he tends to be. We'll see how effective he can be. I like the matchup with David Bakhtiari, who continues to be one of the best pass blocking left tackles in the business, and he did a great job on Sunday night against the Bears as well. We'll pause, come back, take more of your calls. Phone lines available if you want to talk some Pack. We're getting you ready for Packers-Vikings final segment. Look at some more key matchups. Get Jackson's and my prediction on the big game today. And then we'll say goodbye at 8 o'clock. We're getting set for Border Battle 116. Packer Preview returns right after these.
You're listening to Packer Preview on The Fan.
It's time!
Uh-oh, here we go.
Hurry, I want this over with!
I'm gonna shake it like this, gonna rah-rah, hut-hut, Titletown Twist. Around the world, across the nation, everybody Titletown Twist. Titletown Twist. Come join us in the celebration, bring a friend, you're on the party list. Yeah, yeah. Titletown Twist. Tell everyone you know, let's go! Rock and roll the Titletown Twist.
We are back. Final segment. Today's edition of Packer Preview, getting you set for the Border Battle at Lambeau Field. Vikings at Packers. Before we continue, I want to let you guys know, maybe you've heard it in some of the commercial breaks, great contest today at fanball.com. $25,000 contest called Take Me to the Church. Entry fee is normally $5, but use the link fanball.com/radio, and you will get a free entry. First prize gets $5,000. It pays out to 1,195 entries. I'm in. I made my lineup. I went Kamara with the big guy, Ty Montgomery, a little low value, a low-priced running back to pair with Kamara. There's some value there. It's always fun to play daily fantasy. And when it's free, 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 you can't beat it. I encourage you, because space is limited, to go to fanball.com/radio, create your lineup, make sure you get your own little entry in there, and take your shot. It's free. $5,000 to the top winner. Fanball.com/radio. Only for fan listeners today. $25,000 Take Me to the Church contest at fanball.com. Packers and Vikings. Go to the Bradshaw and Brian inbox. Gail Gillingham guy, Triple G, asks, David, what with the onus obviously on the offensive line this week, who has to really step up and perform? I think the obvious answer that came to me was Justin McCray, the right guard, who had a rough opening game, stepping in as a starter this year. He was forced to fill in last year. He got the right guard spot. He did not have a good opening game. He will be challenged, obviously, by that Vikings defensive line today. We need to see Justin McCray perform a lot better. I think Bulaga will be better in game two. Look, this defense is great. They can be susceptible to the run. That's why I really hope that the Packers don't just put this ball in the hands of Rodgers, who is obviously not going to be close to 100%. We're going to need to see that interior, that offensive line perform well, because you got those big guys in the middle with Richardson and Linval Joseph. Those guys are no joke. Packers' interior line has to be ready. Flip side, same deal. The offensive line for the Vikes and that very questionable interior part of that line will have to deal with Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels and Muhammad Wilkerson, the strength of the Packers' defense. To me, that's where this game is won. Which interior offensive line does a better job today? That team is likely to have a better chance at winning. A little more from Ian Rappaport this morning, just posted an hour ago for NFL Network. Rappaport said, Rodgers will play in pain today, sources say, but earlier in the week, this was no sure thing. Rodgers was swollen and hurting. Practice yesterday, did a little bit more than most thought, so he is on track to start today, barring any significant setback between now and noon, and that is very, very good news. Let's head back to the Packer lines and welcome our good friend, 1265 Lombardi Guy. Good morning. Thanks for holding, sir.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate the time. Well, I think the season starts today. I always tend to throw out the first game of the season because in training camp, teams have some time to get ready for that opening game. Prime example, look at the Baltimore Ravens from week to week already in the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, good point.
So, and the keys for me today will be time of possession and getting off on third down for the Packers offense. The Viking defense is so good at getting off the field on third down, and they tend to do it a lot with their base defense. And if they can find a way to just continue to get manageable third downs, time of possession, get onto the other side of the 50, we get some Mason Crosby field goals, that might be enough to get us into the fourth quarter and squeak out the W.
Yeah, great points. Thanks for calling 1265. We'll talk to you next week. I agree. I think it's also going to be incumbent on this defense to take the ball away this week. We didn't see turnovers till the very final play of the game when Nick Perry knocked the ball out of Trubisky's hands on that fourth down play. Kirk Cousins will throw a couple balls up for grabs, and the Packers need to convert those into turnovers. The Vikes were plus four last week with three picks and a fumble recovery at the one-yard line. That might swing back the other way just a little bit. I think there will be interceptions in play. I predicted yesterday two picks for Cousins today. If that happens and the Packers are on the plus side of the turnover battle, the Packers will win this football game. So Kirk Cousins' play, whether he tries to do a little bit too much and maybe underestimates the playmaking abilities of those young corners, that'll be something to watch. And whenever I rip the Vikes and take some shots at their vulnerabilities, it makes me think of our good friend Kane in Apple Valley, who loves to get his shots in and has been holding for most of the show. I think I've made him hold long enough. Let's see what amusing takes he has for us on this border battle morning. Good morning, Kane.
DC Head Stooge. How's it going, man?
Oh, great. Hey, it's great.
I wanted to say Comic Relief is supposed to be my area, but yesterday on In the Zone, when you asked Jamar from Brooklyn Park what if he knew what the word amazing meant, that was one of the funniest things in the history of radio.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'm not trying to bury Jamar. I'm sure he uses his right and left turn indicator just like you and I. So anyway, a couple of points on the game here. I think the important thing for the Vikes is going to be Dalvin Cook. The Packers defense did a bad job against the run last week, and Cook is better than anything the Bears have. And then the second point is everybody is talking about how the Bears didn't put any pressure on Rodgers in the second half. Well, it's only so much pressure you can put on those one, two-step drops. The more important thing is you have to actually cover the receivers. So even on the short route, so that's what I think is the key to the Vikings. It's going to be that bump and run coverage. And, you know, you can still actually cover guys on short routes. The Bears just never figured that out.
All right, thanks, Kane. I appreciate the call. Always somewhat amusing. You were more clear-headed than usual today. The Dalvin Cook take, that's going to be interesting. He did not have a good first game. And again, first game, you throw a lot of that out, but he had a fumble. He only managed 2.5 yards per carry. Now, he was terrific out of the backfield as a receiver. That makes him very dangerous. He's really tough in space, so quick, and Green Bay is going to have to wrap him up. But he was not able to get much going on the ground. And, yeah, the Packers struggled a bit against Jordan Howard in that first, mostly in the first half on the ground. But I do think this defense is pretty good against the run and will be pretty good against the run. Blake Martinez can be a tackling machine up front. They're strong. And I don't think the Vikings' run blocking is very good, and it's not up to Cook. I don't think anybody back there is going to be real productive until they figure out how to run block. That's certainly the weakness. Let's be honest. There's not a lot of weaknesses with this Vikings team, 1-53. But the offensive line is a weakness, and they're down to their third center, Brent Jones, a guy they traded with the Giants on the eve of the season to get a body in here. When the Giants, who do not have much of an offensive line, give up on a guy, okay, well, good luck with it. We'll see how Brent Jones handles Mike Daniels and Kenny Clark today. I don't think there's going to be a lot of room up the middle for the Vikes to get much done. They're going to need to go outside, try to get the edge. Cook is so quick. But the Packers have manufactured some players there that have some speed. So it's not the slow, plodding defense that we've seen from Green Bay in the past. So when the Vikings have the football, it's all about getting Kirk Cousins off of his spot, making him uncomfortable, make him throw into places maybe he shouldn't, and making him pay, and picking off a pass or two. I do think Green Bay is due for one or two today, and that could turn the tides on the game. If it's close, special teams, the Vikes have a rookie kicker, his first road game ever. He made a nice, 43-yarder last week. Now he's on the road. Crowd's going to be loud. He's outdoors. We'll see how he handles it if it's a close game. Rodgers starts today. Will he finish? Obviously, that remains to be seen. We all hope that we'll see something close to what we saw in the second half. But he's clearly nowhere near 100%. It's likely going to take a few weeks for him to get that knee figured out. Packers, after today, head to Washington next week. The Redskins were very impressive in Arizona a week ago. We'll see how they bounce back today. But that will be a tough road test in Washington next week. And then Buffalo comes to town week four in what becomes an early season bye week for the Packers. Buffalo, though a playoff team a year ago, now starting rookie Josh Allen, an entirely new offensive line, looked after week one like the worst team in football. All right, let's bring in the only Packer or the only Viking fan I ever allow on this show. I'll set the stage. 15-year-old son Jackson sporting an Adam Thielen sweatshirt today, and for some reason I let him out of the house. What's up, buddy?
Nothing much.
You've been pretty cocky all week. You're feeling pretty good about your team's chances today, aren't you?
Yeah, feeling pretty good.
Why?
I just think we have so many offensive targets with Thielen, Diggs, Cook, Rudolph.
So that's more than, what, Adams, Cobb, Allison, Williams, Montgomery.
Oh, not even close.
Valdez-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, Jumon Moore. Okay, you like your targets, you like your offensive weapons. How do you feel about your offensive line going up against the Pack's defensive line today?
I mean, it's going to be, that's probably the worst matchup we have this week. But with Rodgers hurt, I think that our defensive pressure could get to you guys too. Rodgers isn't nearly as mobile as he normally is. So I think that's going to be kind of the same problem that you guys are going to have today.
Are you concerned about your special teams at all? Your kicker and punter do not have much experience.
A little bit for our new kicker, first road game, like you were just saying. I don't think we're going to have to settle too much for field goals.
Oh, really? Really?
But, yeah, I'm a little bit nervous for that.
All right, so you're feeling good, though. I mean, I've listened to you all week. You know, with Rodgers, without Rodgers, doesn't really matter, right? You're feeling pretty good about your team's chances. You talked about when your defense is on the field going up against the Packers' offense. You like your playmakers. You think you're going to run the football today because you guys really struggle against the Niners doing much. Latavius, I think he was 12 for 40. He was under 4 yards a carry. Talked about Cook, 2.5 yards a carry. He fumbled the ball. You're going to have to run the football today, and I don't know. That offensive line struggled to run block last week.
Cook's first game back after an injury, there's always going to be a little bit of rust.
Yeah, he didn't play much in the preseason either.
Right? Yeah, so I think that was mostly rust. He hadn't played for, what?
A year almost. Yeah, almost. And he has never faced the Packers, so you got to know he's excited.
Yeah, so I think he's got the rust off. He might have been a little bit nervous for his first game back. I think he's going to have a good game.
All right, so tell us what you think. What's the final score going to be, buddy?
I'm going to go 24-13 Vikes.
Oh, wow. Not even close.
13 points.
Just 13 for Rodgers and the Packers. Yep. Against your D.
An injured Rodgers is...
Yeah, he looked bad Sunday night injured, didn't he? I'm going to go with the same score as last week. Pack 24, Vikes 23. This time it's a last-second Mason Crosby field goal to bring the Pack from behind. That'll be fun. Rodgers is playing. It's going to be a fun time. Pack pulls it out somehow. Border Battle 116 goes our way. Enjoy the game. Go Pack. But wait, there's more. Tony forgot to realize that our close is not a minute long. Let me say again, somehow, some way, Aaron Rodgers guts this one through. Packers run the football better than you think. Crosby makes a kick. The Pack is 2-0. How do you like that?
You're listening to Packer Preview on the Fan.
Hey, Paul Tarchian here. Many of you know that I've relaunched my original fantasy sports site, fanball.com. We're